Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. We are now 2 days and 5 hours away from Listener Party 10. Rick Emerson, Listener Party 10, Emerson History X, happening Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m., Barracuda, 9 Northwest 2nd. 9 Northwest 2nd, no cover, no minimum anything, no drink minimum. Just be 21 years of age and be there. Featuring music by Emerson Starship, music by Hit Me Baby, a very special mystery guest being flown in for this occasion. Of course, the entire cast and crew of the Rick Emerson Show will have greetings from old friends and former colleagues. We'll have a video introduction. Emerson Starship is adding a special mystery song to their set list. We'll have memorabilia, artifacts, tchotchkes, and gigaws from all 10 years of the Rick Emerson Show, almost 10 years being here. And, of course, Scotty J on the Wheels of Steel, plus the greatest listener party logo ever, and the assembled cast and crew of this very fine radio
and
program.
And are we going to talk about our other... about what we have to show in front?
You're milking a cow just now? What was that? Oh, that. Yeah, I think we can say that. I don't want to give away exactly what
Because it's exciting, because people who've gone through the ups and downs of us know that this has never happened to us before, ever.
We should say, and then we'll get these phone calls. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about
this. Do it, Rick Emerson.
We're going to talk about this. Don't pressure me. I fold like a house of cards. No, that's not even right. What do I fold like?
A deck of cards.
No. You don't fold a deck of cards.
A tent.
Do you fold a tent? What do I fold like?
I don't know. I'm just going to say random things. I hope you repeat them.
The dominoes will fall like a house of cards. Checkmate. We'll do these calls. No. No, now I don't even know what the hell I'm doing. God damn it! I will, You shut your mouth, Dennis Pittenberger. All right. We'll talk about this surprise, then we'll do the calls, and we'll welcome Dennis. We'll do Worst Story Top 5.
And by surprise, I mean surprise for us, not for...
It's a surprise for us. No, it's... But it's appropriate, because we're talking about the history of the show, and about the fact that this is the 10th listener party we've done. We've been on the air here for a long time, better part of a decade. And I don't want to knock Fisher Broadcasting, who we used to work for, because Fisher... They did the best with the money they had. Let me put it that way. Fisher's biggest contribution to us was that they left us alone, and that Bruce Agler was the program director and was responsible for all good things on this program. Anything you hear on this show that you like, any bit of talent I have, anything you hear us do that you find amusing or entertaining or interesting or compelling or fascinating in any way, I can't take any credit for that, and really... Most of the people here on the show can only take a little bit of credit. Most of it goes to Bruce Agler, who was the PD of this program when we were at Fisher. And Fisher also left us alone, which is good. Intercom, well, we worked there too. And now we're here. And so, like, but we can't have nice things, typically, or haven't. Like, when we were at Intercom, you know, we have, one of the things we're going to have on exhibit is some of these Max 910 matchbooks. That was their idea of, like, brilliant promotion for us. We're going to give you some matchbooks with hot sluts on the cover. But, of course, they weren't our hot sluts. They were girls from 1080 The Fan that they just stuck our logo on top of.
Not to mention our business card. Yeah, we talked about the business cards. They were half Fan, half Mac.
Yeah, we couldn't actually even have our own business cards. Our business cards, yeah, they just said Fan, and then also the bottom, and Max 910. You know, and it was sort of like Puppet Show and Spinal Tap. All of which makes it so much the better we came to CBS. And people can think that I'm blowing corporate smoke, and that's not really the case. CBS has really put their money where our mouths are. And we've gotten a whole lot of things. I mean, we've gotten a whole lot of things. And I'm not going to say we measure everything in terms of money or stuff or material things. But, you know, some of that stuff does carry a lot of psychological weight with you, where you sort of feel like you are a real part. I don't mean to sound all cheesy about it, but I mean a real part of the family. You really feel like the company is behind you. That's a good feeling to have. When you sort of feel like you're just forgotten and you're doing your show out of a storage closet across the hall from Gustav, and that when you pass people who work for you or who work with you, and they don't even really seem to know who you are, you know, like, who are you? Can I help you with something, son? Yeah, I work here. Oh, do you work with Gustav? No, I work on the Rick Emerson Show. What's that? You know, and then they just don't know. So here at CBS, though, we have found it's entirely different. Here at CBS, probably the best studio we've ever worked in. You know, and a whole bunch of other, you know, things, big and small. You know, everything from T-shirts to the fact that we have an actual promotions department that helps us with things like Horns Across the Hawthorn. And now... and I know that I'm taking a long time to build up to this. I will just say that we now have, and it will be unveiled at Listener Party 10 for the first time ever, we have our own station vehicle. And I know that that doesn't maybe sound very impressive if you don't work in radio. But I got to say, if you work in radio, you know how important that is and really how significant that is. So it's now parked out back. We now have our own station vehicle, which is, I got to say, it's pretty damn cool looking is what it is.
That is the neatest station vehicle I've ever seen.
It's pretty badass. I do have to say that.
I've never seen a design like that or a car like that. Like, it's not overly huge and...
No.
And it's like the designs and the writing and everything are so cool.
It's pretty great. It doesn't really look like anything else I've ever seen. So that's something we're going to unveil at Listener Party 10. So there you go. It's 503-733-2970. Let's get these phone calls, and then we'll do a little bit of news. We'll talk to Dennis Pitsenbarger, who's speaking really loudly in the background.
Yes, Dennis, it's kind of hard to run a radio show when you're talking so loud.
Trying to work over here. Dennis must feel so bad. Every time he comes to the studio, we're like busting his chops.
I can't even hear you over him.
Let me get a couple of these, and then we'll move on. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Rick, hey, how you doing?
What's up?
Sir, Tim, and Scotty J. Cool that you have a vehicle. I used to work in radio, and that is a cool thing.
It is the best.
The logos are actually stuck onto the vehicle. It's not those magnets that they would cover, like, KUPL with. Or not KUPL, the Wolf.
Well, we used it when we worked it at Intercom. They would do this thing of, like, they would give us the KWJJ vehicle, and then they would, like, really, like, crudely put, like, a hand-drawn sign that said Rick Emerson and, like, tape it over the top. This is an actual AM970 station vehicle, and it's badass. You'll see it at Barracuda.
It gives you a solid feeling of temporariness.
Yes, that's
totally.
Seriously, it's as solid and as secure as this job could ever feel. Yes.
Anyway, the reason I called, George Hamilton, just going with this filmography, he came to real popularity in the 70s, of course, with Love at First Sight, where he played Dracula. And then he did that Zorro the Gay Blade movie.
Oh, okay. All right. So that might be where I know him then.
And that's where his main claim to fame. Now, basically, he has just become one of those celebrities who is famous for being famous.
And for being tan.
And for the perfect tan. His last gig, as a matter of fact, was a national campaign for baked tostitos. So there you go.
Very fantastic. Thank you, sir.
And, George Hamilton and George O'Hurley. Or, I mean, John O'Hurley. John O'Hurley every time.
All right. Thank you.
Bye.
That's Steve. Fantastic. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Dennis Pitsenbarger to the show in a moment. Then we'll do the worst story in the top five. At the Ministry of Truth, he's your president, your prophet, your seer, and your revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Here's something that's kind of unbelievable. TriMet is adding two canine units to a system today to help detect explosives. I'm sure they'll take a lot of gas. TriMet says it has one officer and a dog team. Apparently, they've had it since 2005, but I've never seen a dog on TriMet.
I'm confused.
There's some homeless dude once with one on a string.
No, we see a lot of that. I see a lot of pit bulls, but they are not.
To look
they
for
are
what?
Canine units.
Oh.
They're trying to detect explosives.
On a TriMet?
Right.
I'm not trying to antagonize the criminal community here, but I mean, seriously, who would bother to blow up a TriMet? I mean, come on.
Yeah.
There are... I have to be very careful about this. I'm just saying, that doesn't seem like a likely target. That's all I'm saying. That seems like a low value
target. It'll inconvenience 25 people.
I mean, really, yeah. I mean, that's been outstripped so long ago, that's not even going to get any attention.
I'll just stay home if it's blown up. I have sick days. I have personal days. I can't be in work today. They've just blown up TriMet.
Really? Who could quarrel with that, though? Well, okay. All right.
So that's that. The officers and dogs were trained at the Transportation Security Administration National... This is a long sentence. The dogs and canines were trained at the Transportation Security Administration National Detention Canine Team Training Center in Texas.
Run on. All right.
So that's what they give us out of Texas.
Okay.
And by the way, that traffic tie-up is gone.
Did you hear a story about somebody firing shots at the White House today?
I didn't. Did that happen?
I got a claim. Somebody said this.
Let me
know how our listeners are. They just make crap up.
I do the same. Sometimes I do it too.
Well, they learned it from us. Kind of like how you learn alcoholism from a parent. They learned making crap up from us. Somebody claims here, this is from Reuters, allegedly, two Secret Service officers were injured on Tuesday after a gun held by a third Secret Service officer accidentally fired inside the White House.
That's not the same thing.
No, I guess it's not. Well, never mind. I'm going to close this now and pretend I never read it. Okay.
Not that that mattered.
No.
Britney Spears has fired her manager, according to Page Six, which is usually right. The singer let go Larry Rudolph, who said that she worked for apparently he worked for her for several months. Spears said to have signed a multi-million-dollar deal with Rudolph, which means there could be legal ramifications. This is late in the day, isn't it?
Rudolph has worked for her. He's been her manager for a long time, I think ever since the Hit Me Baby era, or whatever that song is called. What is the name of that song?
What song?
The Hit Me Baby One More Time. What is the actual name of that song?
I thought it was like, don't even. You do it all the time.
Sherrod, you are.
I
have 30 years experience, so I can.
Sarah, now that your microphone is on.
I don't know. I think it's Hit Me Baby One More Time.
Is that the full name of the song?
I'm pretty sure.
I hate to be that guy referring to a song as, you know, by its colloquial name and not its actual name.
Right, let me Google it.
It's like that stupid Harvey Danger song, you know, that you know, nobody knew the real name to. All right. Well, in any event, I don't care.
I think it's Baby One More Time.
Baby One More Time. Dot, dot, dot. Baby One More Time. All right. Okay. So, blah, blah, blah. So, Britney Spears has fired her manager.
Yeah.
It's not going to help. That's one of the, that's the definition of too little, too late. That horse has left the barn so long ago.
Oh, by the way, the gunman apparently was on meds. The gunman named Cho. Not to be confused with Margaret Cho. I hope there's no, anyway, ballistic test by the,
He was not on enough.
He was not on enough.
They were too few meds, I believe. All right. So he was on meds, which...
He was taking a medication for a depression.
I don't really know that it worked. Okay. All right. There you go.
The gunman's family lived in an off-white two-story home in Centerville, Virginia. He was always quiet, always to himself. He spent a lot of time playing basketball.
And sawing up cats.
They wouldn't respond if someone greeted him. He was describing the family as quiet. Let's see. The man who lived across the street said the family lived there for several years. He also got a speeding ticket once. He was caught going 44 miles an hour in a 25-mile-an-hour zone.
Well, this is how
they should have known that something like that was going to happen after that.
All these stories unfold this way, where they find just the most tiny, insignificant details. Like that teacher's like, well, and he came to school in sunglasses, as though we're supposed to read anything. Hell, Tim comes here half the time in sunglasses. Doesn't mean he's going to kill us all.
No, it means I'm trying to avoid being killed.
Don't look at me, please. I'm not in any way making eye contact. It's like after Michael shoots up the restaurant in Godfather 1, everybody just looks at their feet. I didn't see anything. Don't. Please spare me. All right.
So, that's that. At least he got Imus out of the news, so he must be happy.
You know he is, sadly. Look.
Seriously.
Speaking the plain truth here, you know
Larry King can celebrate his anniversary some other night.
Oh, you know Larry King is seething about this. You know Larry King takes this
it was supposed to be his big night last night.
Larry King takes this Virginia shooting as a personal affront. You know, don't they know... I am a giant in this industry. No, you can tell he's all withered and angry about it. Him and his leathery frog-like face. All right. Is that the extent of the news for right now?
Right now, but make sure you join us during Lycus as we enlighten the masses.
Lycus.
At the top of each hour.
They love us.
Good night and good luck.
Okay. Tim Riley, ladies and gentlemen, you'll hear him at 4, 5, 6, and 7.
Oh, am I coming back later?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, if you'd like to...
We like to applaud you all the time.
Oh, maybe one more time. It's only 1:23, according to this computer, so I still have plenty of time. I might as well sit.
Time has stopped. Are we in a Jean-Paul Sartre, play, just if we can't get out of here ever?
I'll go out and get a snack and come back.
Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, Dennis Pitzenbarger from PDXAutoClick.com. Hi there.
Hi.
Sorry, Dennis, we don't mean to be mean.
I don't mean to bust your chops every time you come in here.
No, I'm kind of used to it. I've become leathered and somewhat callous.
All right. Well, fantastic. Let me read this email. Rick, I know this sounds unbelievable, but my stepdad was a major tax evader. When I was 8, my mother and I went shopping in his car, which the authorities apparently wanted to confiscate. When we parked in front of a Safeway, what seemed like a dozen cops and guys in black surrounded us and pointed an ass load of guns at us. They took the car, and we had to call for family members to come take us home. It was one of the scariest moments of my life, and not the last time that I've had a gun to my face. Maybe you should pick different friends, sir. Also, Secret Service guys trained for years. This is a great point. He says, Secret, and all the Weekend Warrior... you know, I read Soldier of Fortune, and therefore I think I'm a bounty hunter, guys should listen to this. He says, you know, Secret Service guys train for years to put themselves in the counterintuitive mindset of putting themselves in front of a bullet and taking someone down. You cannot expect a 19-year-old engineering nerd to have the same reaction that it takes a professional Secret Service agent years to build into themselves. That's totally true. I mean, those Secret Service agents train forever to learn to throw themselves in harm's way because it's an unnatural response. This idea that somehow if some idiot college student is a jerk because he didn't want to throw himself in front of a loaded gun is ridiculous. So, yeah, I'm with you. Thank you, sir. All right, what's up in your world, Dennis?
Getting ready to make my liver be in much pain on Thursday night.
And you will be there. What about your lovely bride? Will she be there as well?
She will be there. How do you say that?
Did you call her Brandon?
No, her name's Brandy. I did not call
Brandy.
Her.
Brandy? Is there something you'd like to share with us?
Well, I warned you about making mistakes on the radio, and only because I make so many of them. And there was a little story I was sharing with you about this.
All I know is this. Here's the thing. I don't know what happened to precipitate this. All I know is that you walked by my office a day or two, and you muttered something about having to buy your wife $700 worth of jewelry to make up for something.
Well, what did you do?
Well, I wish it was $700. I'm just saying that When things are taken out of context, which they are several times, everything from the...
Was this something you said on the car show?
Yes.
Okay, let me guess. Did you... You said something on the car show that got you in trouble with your wife.
Yes.
Your wife, see, now, don't get me wrong, Brandy's a lovely girl, and she's very nice. She's always been very nice to me. And I mean this in the best possible way. And I can say this because I won't have to buy her anything. She can say this to me. I don't have to buy her squat. I don't care. No, I'm just saying, she does seem like she could... get angry and hold a grudge.
Well,
she seems like she could be mean when the situation calls for it. That's all I'm saying. And I don't mean she's a bad person, but I'm saying she does seem like underneath the really beautiful exterior, she's always been very polite to me. She seems like she could probably be just hard as nails if she had to be.
You have to remember, this is the same girl that when we were in Astoria for vacation, as we were having a verbal argument with several people, and it was just my wife and I, she was the one that overhand righted the other girl in the face and knocked her out.
Totally.
So, I'm just saying.
So you said something on the air. Did you compliment the physique of another woman who is not your wife?
No. That would have probably cost me double. But no.
Did you make some remark about back when I was single? Those were good times.
No. We seem to have a zen kind of hit and miss with that. Though you don't, you know, don't talk about it. Don't tell. Don't ask. Don't tell. So that would be a
sorry.
Well, I mean, we both have, you know, we both have been in relationships prior to being together.
I thought
so. We don't, you know, I don't give her a hard time about it. Okay. She doesn't give me a hard time about it. So that would be no.
Okay. So it's not that you have an understanding.
No.
All right,
no,
I didn't know what you were talking about.
We don't have that kind of... No.
I'm just trying to think about the things that have gotten me into trouble in the past. Well, this doesn't happen to me. Did you disparage your child in some way?
No. I said something that was taken severely out of context. And
what was it? Give us the out of context version first.
Well,
what did you say about Brandy?
There is a sponsor that I would like to come onto my program that is a local racetrack, and yet he keeps dragging his feet about actually pulling the trigger on the said advertising that comes with a price.
Sure.
And I kind of was talking about, well, I don't blame him. It would be like, you know, every week I have people that race at the racetrack come in. I talk about his racetrack every week. Why would he buy it?
Hold on a second. Now, I've got somebody here who heard your comments on the car show. Now,
so it's something that was apparent to everybody that it was inappropriate, kind of like when we...
The room cleared because I had guests in the show. I had five or six people in the studio as well as
when you
Matt
said this thing about your wife. Now, would you like to tell us first, or should we take this call and have the caller relay what you said?
Well, I don't mind saying it. I mean, I don't know. It's up to you.
Hi, Jesse. You're on the Rick Emerson Show. What did Dennis say about his wife this weekend on the air?
I think the exact quote was, I married the cow.
Dude.
What?
Dude.
Can I explain?
Now, look, you said it was out of context. It wasn't out of context. You just kind of, you didn't think about what you were saying before you said
it. You called your wife a cow?
I did.
Are you kidding me?
Seriously. I'm surprised you can walk.
I, well, no, but my wallet is a lot thinner. We were talking. Matt Peterson made the comment about why, you know, why buy the, or whatever, you're getting the milk for free, why buy the cow? What went through my head was the fact that I
married the cow.
I didn't try to get the milk for free for a very long time. I said, wow, I want that, and I married her.
I want that.
I want that, so I married the cow.
You know who else says stuff like that is serial killers.
I want that. Jim Roop, are you listening? Don't get me in trouble any more than I've already gotten myself out of. What I meant was that...
Is she the cash cow?
No. Be quiet. She's probably listening. What I meant by it was that in my brain, I was thinking, I married my wife because I wanted to be with her. I didn't have to try to get something for free. That's what went through my head.
Oh, you're not getting anything for free. I don't think you're getting anything for free ever again.
Well, no. And so the idea was we were actually, as you can see me looking at my V-twin edition of a local periodical that sells motorcycles, the idea that we were going to be adding a motorcycle to the garage full of toys. And that didn't work out so well because really what we did is we drove like we were going towards the motorcycle selling opportunity, and we took a left turn at the jewelry store. And
how much jewelry? Can you just tell? Can you tell us the figure of how much you spent after you called your wife a cow?
Well, on her left hand is now over 2 carats, I believe. So I mean, I'm you know, but the beauty of it is it kind of, in a strange way, it kind of killed two birds with one stone. As she's taken care of for Mother's Day, and because
You're digging yourself in the...
No. She knows this. She knows this. It's an open agreement that we had. I said, listen, if I'm going to get out of trouble by taking you to the jewelry store because of putting my foot clearly all the way down my throat...
Wait, so you're just saying that you bought her such a large rock for her hand that you now have credit? You have a little wiggle room to just say hideous things like you can...
Oh, no, my credit is used up. Unfortunately,
called her a cow. All right, thank you, Jesse.
Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Jesse, for bringing that up once again.
Yeah,
so I didn't
want the milk for free. I married the cow.
Now, listen, everybody else can bring it up. My wife cannot bring it up because we had a deal, an arrangement that we worked out.
You got to quit saying that you and your wife have an arrangement or a deal because that's going to get taken out of context, too.
No, I... Okay.
There's going to be some girl manhandling your junk, and it's weird. I heard you have an arrangement.
No, we don't have that kind of arrangement in any way, shape, or form. My wife decided to let me off the hook by buying her the third band for her wedding area.
Well, that
ring.
Was nice of her.
Her wedding area?
Her wedding area.
Well, her finger, her wedding finger.
What kind of a band do you put around her wedding area, Dennis?
Does that come with a key?
So she can't have sex with the milkman while you're gone?
I hope she's not having sex with the milkman when I'm gone.
I'm going to have to hold you down and put a ring around your wedding area. No, this will sting.
I was thinking of the area that, what goes around that area is shiny rocks that were once coal.
Your wife's wedding area is covered with shiny rocks.
Jesus.
I think we should break. Just nod your head.
Okay.
Before you take a break.
Yes, thank you. I love you, honey.
Hey, if you just joined us, Dennis's wife's wedding area is covered with shiny rocks. He decorates it like a bird's nest.
And apparently. He didn't get the milk for free. He married the cow.
Married the cow. You're fantastic.
Yeah. I love you, honey.
Uh-huh. Come back after this. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We'll pay a final visit to the Ministry of Truth, and we will continue our search for the worst story ever. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It's 503-733-2970. Here in a few, we'll talk more to Dennis Pitzenbarger. Ladies and gentlemen, let us pay a final visit to, well, until 4 o'clock anyway. Let's pay a final visit during the Rick Emerson Show to your president, prophet, seer, and revelator.
And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Gunman at the Virginia Tech Massacre was a sullen loner who alarmed professors and classmates alike with his twisted, blood-drenched creative writing. Left a rambling note in the door room, raging against rich people and women. That's the chilling picture that emerged today to Cho Sung-hoo, a 23-year-old senior majoring in English, a day after the bloodbath that left 33 dead, including Cho himself, who killed himself before police managed to catch him. So apparently he was the only person involved in this. At least what they say. There's no evidence to the contrary. Out of the Oregon House today comes word that they have given the okay that could give gays and lesbians the benefits of marriage protection against discrimination under bills approved by the House. Now it goes to the Senate, so it still isn't over yet. Getting back to our original story,
Emergency medical personnel who responded to yesterday's tragedy performed outstandingly well. That, according to the doctor at the Montgomery Regional Hospital in Blacksburg.
We were in constant communication with emergency medical technicians, with the police. They did an incredible job of keeping us informed what was even on our way to the hospital. So we knew what was going to hit the emergency room even before it hit it.
They received numerous patients.
I think we got 17-some patients altogether through our emergency room yesterday. One of those ended up getting sent to the trauma center at Roanoke Memorial.
I think somebody's translating.
English to English?
Is somebody saying, is it English in the background?
That's what it sounded like. Let's go back and listen.
I think we got 17-some patients all
together. Oh, you know, they're doing back-to-back interviews. There's two people being interviewed at the same time.
One of those ended up getting sent to the trauma center at Roanoke Memorial.
Or he's being prompted by an overly helpful assistant who doesn't realize that she's just irritating. I think that might be it.
Well, they didn't handle many patients that needed immediate surgery.
Three patients that very urgently went to the operating room because they were in very dangerous, life-threatening bleeding conditions. The other patients were multiple gunshots through mostly limbs. There was one that went through the chest wall but actually didn't penetrate the chest.
God, I can't even imagine. It must be just a zoo. I mean, it's just going to be chaos. So, all right, well, there you go.
So that's it for today.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, Tim Riley, who you will hear again at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, and 7 o'clock.
Because I just can't get enough.
Tim Riley, because he lives and breathes this station.
Absolutely.
All right.
Back to the newsroom for me. I'll see you all later.
Thank you, Tim. You can meet him in person, ladies and gentlemen, Thursday, April 19th, 7 p.m., Rick Emerson, Lister, Party 10. This email says, Rick, to be accurate, Dennis didn't just say that his wife's wedding area was covered with shiny rocks. That was your comment. Dennis actually said his wife's wedding area was covered with coal. Okay.
Lord.
Dude, don't blame me. It's your mouth. Yes?
You should thank Rick for all the times he's bleeped things that have come out of your mouth.
Seriously.
You know, the funny thing is, that's what Matt said to me. Matt's like, well, you could have dumped it. And I'm like, well, why didn't you? He goes, I don't know, it's too late now.
Yeah, that's what Don Imus said. Well, why bother? It's already out there. Who's going to get offended? All right. You know, that Don Imus impression, really, the clock is ticking on that. And it's not even that great. I hope he gets another job just so I can continue to do that. Let's get a couple of these. Hi, Kyle, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. What's up?
Hey, it's not Dennis's fault. It's all Matt's fault. I'm here for you, Dennis.
Thank you. Is
blaming Matt just sort of like a go-to position?
No, it was totally Matt just screwing his words up. Dennis, sure, said something stupid, but it wasn't worth all the money that he had to...
Matt twisted your words? Were your words covered in grease? I'm sorry. Was that out loud?
I'll pick on anybody besides me right now.
So let's have a nice classic F Matt with duct tape and a rubber hose.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right. Let's see. Dave, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hi.
Hey, Rick, I was that guy in Japan that heard the Muddy River Nightmare band.
Oh, so you were the guy that came... So our friends in the Muddy River Nightmare band were playing in Tokyo, which is just bizarre.
Yeah.
So you were the guy who came up and like, I know you guys are the Rick Emerson Show. What were you doing in Tokyo?
Well, you want to hear the real story?
No.
I was there to settle a score, you know, but...
Okay, you were there to settle a score with the Yakuza.
Yeah.
No, I mean, but you were... They said you were there visiting your son or whatever, but...
I was there to visit, and... I wanted to go out and hear some rock music. I noticed, hey, look at this.
Weird. What a small freaking world. What kind of a venue was it?
It's small. Very, very small.
But I mean, was it a bar or?
No, it was a nightclub.
All right. Excellent. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Well, thank you for spreading the word, even in Tokyo.
Okay.
Thank you. There you go. That's Dave. All right. There you go. Fantastic. All right, Sarah. So we got another break to do here. Do I have time to do these two stories, these news stories, and have people vote?
I think that we should just let Dennis talk on the mic for a couple minutes.
I'll just be quiet then and let Dennis talk. I'm sorry. I feel like I'm being a big news tease. It's just that the listener party, things are so busy.
All right, then read the stories. We have a few minutes.
Are you sure? I can just let Dennis ramble nonsensically.
I think he's...
No, I'm good. I've been listening all day. I'm kind of curious about the news stories.
All right.
If you were going to let me talk about anything, I told you already.
So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to quickly read these two stories. This is part of our attempt to find, because this is not a one-time bit. This is part of our attempt to find the worst news story in the history of the world. So I'm going to read you two stories, one of which you've already heard, and then we will take an Insta-poll and find out which you find to be the worst. Story number one, story number two. All right, here we go.
Let's do it.
Here is story number one. Oh, in fact, let me just, let me cue up the bed for this. Hold on. Where's my bed? It's right there. Let me load that. Sarah, you might want to drop this level. It might be a little loud. All right. Here's story number one on our hunt for the worst news story ever. This is the reigning champion. Blood sprays out of sewer onto city worker. A Minneapolis city worker is worried about blood in the sewer system because he said while he was cleaning the system, blood sprayed out of a hole and got all over him. Quote, we could tell it was blood. I mean a lot of blood, end quote, said Minneapolis sewer maintenance worker Ron Huebner. It happened about 2 weeks ago in the northeast Minneapolis near a lab that does medical testing and dumps laboratory blood into the sewer. It is allowed, but the city is now making changes to help protect workers in the future. Blood was all over my face, in my mouth. I could taste it. It was terrible. I kept spitting out blood, but I couldn't get rid of it, said Huebner. Huebner said he hasn't been sleeping much. He's worried about the blood that he swallowed when he was operating a jet machine to clean out a sewer. The Met Council said it was a mix of human and animal blood. Used in a medical testing facility at this nearby lab. In fact, 20 such laboratories have a permit to dump blood into the sewer system. I'm sorry. There have been some changes recently, including more coordination among city departments, so key information and permits gets to the right people and there's more required safety gear. According to the Met Council, there are 4 slaughterhouses, 20 hospitals, and a dozen medical and pharmaceutical companies that have permits to dump such blood.
In one city?
Yeah, well, it's, you know, Minneapolis. It's a dirty town. All right. That's story number one.
I don't know how you top that.
Here comes story number two. And again, as soon as we're done with this, you must call then and vote on which of these is the worst. That's story number one. Here's story number two. Family says surgery while still awake caused suicide. Studies say
that's my nightmare.
Studies say that up to 40,000 surgery patients a year are left awake but paralyzed during surgery. 2 West Virginia women say that experience caused their father to commit suicide, or that experience. Sherman Sizemore, a former coal miner and Baptist minister, took his own life in February 2006, 2 weeks after undergoing abdominal surgery. A lawsuit alleges that Sizemore was awake for 30 minutes. Of his abdominal surgery. The women said this experience left their father so upset he took his own life. There you go. Sarah, off it. Well, no. Don't prejudice the audience, I guess. All right, so here's the number. It's 503-733-2970. We'll do a quick Insta-poll, then we'll break, and we'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. And then I will take the calls unscreened. Scotty, we're not going to screen these, so don't bother. And I will... I gotta wait for the thing. I gotta wait for the delay before the phones start kicking us. I will take these unscreened. I will calculate them, Scotty. We will tabulate them, and then we will reveal the winner on the other side of the break. Do you want to do the voting on the other side or this?
Yeah, we've got a break.
All right, we'll take a break. Please to be calling now with your votes, and we will calculate these on the other side. It's the Rick Emerson Show's Hunt for the Worst Story Ever. Part of the broadcasting day, the final segment of the Rick Emerson Show. Our search for the worst news story ever. We're going to take your calls here. We'll vote, and then we'll come back. I'm going to go ahead and roll this again, Sarah, over here, if you just want to... Thank you. All right, we're just going to go to these on screen. We have caller number one, man doused with blood while in sewer. We have story number two, man awake for 30 minutes during abdominal surgery. He is awake, but paralyzed and unable to tell the doctors. We're going to go to the phones here. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Story number one or story number two?
Here's the thing. The first guy can take a shower.
The second he could get sprayed off. The second guy is Hannibal Lecter, like Ray Liotta in that Hannibal Lecter movie. It's got to be number two.
All right, thank you, sir.
Thanks.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which is the worst story? All right, thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which is the worst story?
Dennis's. Oh.
Thank you, sir. No,
I'll go
sir.
Second.
All right. Thank you
for the sympathy.
Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which is the worst story?
Hey, I vote for number two, and I can do it one worse.
Please
because,
don't. Okay.
All right. My dad woke up in the middle of surgery once.
Really? What kind
Pretty
of surgery? What kind of surgery?
He was having half his stomach removed from an ulcer. He was a junior high school vice principal.
Did it hurt?
Well, he didn't talk about it, but worse than that was he had what they thought was a cancer of the eye, and because he'd had that problem waking up in surgery, his doctor said, so, we're not going to do it under general anesthetic. We're going to do it under local.
Okay, we have to go. Thank you. God, that's disgusting. All right, thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the worst?
Story number one.
All right, thank you, sir. That's the first vote for the blood in the sewer story. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story do you find the most horrifying?
Number one.
All right, thank you, my friend. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the most horrifying?
The surgery.
All right, thank you. Early lead for the surgery. Hi, it's 503-733-2970. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the most horrifying?
It's got to be the one with the blood.
All right, thank you.
And also, are you going to have a tape machine at the party? I got the video of that guy getting nailed on the cross. I'll bring it down.
Thank you. Please do that. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Hi. We'll do like five more. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the most horrifying? Hello.
Right. Hello.
Hi. Hi. Which story is the most horrifying, sir?
Hey, this is definitely story number two. I had the same experience when I had a tooth removed that I thought was going to be general and was actually a local.
All right. Thank you. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story is the most horrifying?
Number one is the most horrifying story, only because there's no personal account of what the poor guy was feeling in number two. I agree, it's bad, but being sprayed with medical waste blood, that's just horrible.
All right, thank you. Sarah, without looking at the results, which I've got covered, how many more calls should I take?
I'd say take four.
Four more. Okay, quickly. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Which story?
Number one, because I've had a cesarean, so I've been paralyzed and awake for surgery.
All right, thank you.
Sorry.
All right. Hi, Rick Emerson Show. Three more calls. Rick Emerson Show, which story?
Yes, it's the blood story. It's just disgusting.
All right, thank you, sir. Two more calls. Hi, Rick Emerson Show, which story?
The blood.
All right, thank you, sir. Final vote. Which of these stories is the most horrifying?
Oh, it's got to be the blood, and then you think all the sewer workers are now going to have to, you know, wear protective clothing, so it's bad all around.
All right, thank you, miss. Final vote. All right, so the winner today, the winner is still champion. Blood sprays out of sewer, covers city work. All right, there you go. Thank you. Thank you so much. Sewer. All right, so there you go. So we'll have another installment of the hunt for the worst story ever at some point in the future. All right, so there you go. Man awake during surgery, defeated.
See, that's the worst thing ever for me.
Yeah, because that Tales from the Crypt episode, right?
It was,
and it's the band saw at the end with the scream and they merge.
He's alive and he or she or whatever, and they're screaming on the inside.
Yeah. All right. Dennis Pitsenbarger, what's coming up at the car show this weekend, 9 to 11?
Well, not so much the car show, which hopefully will be great and entertaining, but actually the party afterwards, as much as I will try to make sure I don't completely blacken my liver at the listener party on Thursday. Saturday night, we are having a viewing party at the Cheerful Pit Stop. We're going to have a NASCAR Winston Cup car, Tony Stewart's car, a bunch of race cars, a bunch of Harleys, a bunch of bikes, a bunch of friends, a bunch of beer, a bunch of friends. And if you'd like to show up, please do.
All right. Is your wife going to be there?
Oh, yeah. My wife will be. My wife will be.
You'll be able to spot her by the size of the hubcap sized diamond.
Yeah. If you cannot spot my wife at either the Lister party or at the,
they can look for her bright shiny wedding area.
Yeah, she'll be holding it up, laughing while she breaks my credit cards in half.
Go by and look at Dennis's wife's wedding area, won't you?
Stage during the Lister party and show everyone her ring
and her wedding area.
No,
I keep trying to say come up and show everybody her wedding area. It's bejeweled. All right, thank you, Dennis.
All right.
Car and Driver Radio, 6 to 9 a.m. And, of course, Dennis Pitsenbarger at 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Saturday mornings. Rick Emerson Show produced today and every day by the lovely talents of Sarah X. Dillon for AM 970 Solid State Radio. The news from Tim Riley, RP, Scotty J. at the Gatekeepers. Dave Zinn. Listener Party 10 happens Thursday, 7 p.m. Barracuda. As always, do your best to help the retarded and don't let the bastards grind you down. We'll see you soon. Bye, kids.
I'm Billy Newberg.